Let's take our Bibles and turn to the book of Proverbs 17. Proverbs 17, verse 1. Proverbs 17, verse 1. The scriptures say, better is a dry morsel and quietness therewith than a house full of sacrifices with strife. Now, from the mouth of our Lord, we know that He is the subject of all scriptures. We know that. Search the scriptures. He told the Jews, for in them you think you have eternal life. And they are they which testify of me. He told the two on the road to Emmaus, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into His glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, He expounded unto them in all the scriptures things concerning Himself. And from the words of our Lord, we know that as we read His Word, look for Him. Look for His honor. Look for His glory. Look for His praise. And we look aright. The first thing, the last thing, the middle thing. When you read a scripture, it may be a scripture that just absolutely seems to make no sense to you. And this, you can be sure of. That scripture spoke of the glory of Christ. Well, with that truth, we look at this one verse this morning, and the scriptures say, concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, better is a dry morsel and quietness therewith than a house full of sacrifices. Margin there says, if you have a marginal reading, it says, good cheer. Good cheer. Better a dry piece of bread. Long dried. Better a dry morsel and quietness than a house full of sacrifices with strife. Now, the first thing I want to look at is let's look at that last portion. The house full of sacrifices with strife. And that part of being good cheer, I can tell you, based on what's better, it's better to have the dry morsel than it is to have that sacrifices or what you think is good cheer. What seems to satisfy you. These sacrifices with strife, and without a doubt, knowing that something's better than what I'm about to talk about, it's strife against God. Something's better than having a false sense of security than it is to possess what you think is a settledness, good cheer to you. You know, these sacrifices with strife, holding a controversy with. And all controversy, based on this scripture, all sin is against God. So if there's a controversy, it's against God. You may find that people voice it against God's preachers, but the controversy is with God. I just read just a moment ago Romans chapter 9. That's one of the most straightforward chapters you'll ever read in the scriptures concerning God's sovereignty and election, God's grace to show mercy, God's good pleasure according to His will to leave a man to himself. Someone may hear those scriptures read, and their controversy is not with the reader. Their controversy is with God. That's God's word. So there is something that is better, the best, better, dry morsel and quietness and a house full of sacrifices. Now, the sacrifices, back in the Old Testament, there were some sacrifices that were given by the Lord to Moses. And these sacrifices were to set forth the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. And His sacrifice, His satisfaction, and His people's ability to be able to enter in fellowship with Him who was the sacrifice. These sacrifices. Now, how many of these sacrifices were given? There's always a counterfeit for it. There's always a counterfeit. Anytime you find a false religion, you're going to find that it's based on a resting. I say that before. Turn over. To the scriptures. 2 Peter 3. I quote this, but I want you to read this. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 14, 16. 2 Peter 3, verse 14 to 16. The apostle speaking under the Spirit of God says, "Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent that you may be found of Him in peace, without spot, without and blameless. And account that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation. Even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction." What the unregenerate will do, they will take a passage of Scripture out of context and they'll twist it and they'll say, "This is truly the way to be saved." And every time the Scripture is wrested, they do rest, twist, contortion. Every time, it always comes out that it's something that I can do in order to be saved. There's a resting of the Scriptures. Always ends up man's will, man's thoughts, man's works. Resting of the Scriptures. Now, back in the Old Testament, there were some true sacrifices given that spoke of the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. They had the sacrifice of the Passover. I won't mention all of them, but of the Passover. And what this Passover was, you remember back in the nation of Egypt, the Lord was going to take His people out. It sent these plagues. And this Passover, there was a lamb. And the people were commanded to take that lamb, they were to kill it, They set it apart. They were to kill it, take the blood, and take that blood and strike it on the lintel and the side post of the door. Get behind the door, because the night that the Lord was going to come through. The Lord said, when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. Now they would take that lamb, when they killed it, put it on there, they were to roast it, they were to eat it. And that picture of them taking that lamb and putting it on the doorpost and eating it, and then that night going behind, that was a picture of their oneness and association with the Lamb, the Lord Himself. They eat. We do eat. We drink when we partake of the Lord's Supper. There's a symbol. We know that that's not the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. We know that. That's not truly His blood, and it does not turn into actually His body and blood. That's a wresting of Scripture. A twisting of the Scriptures. It's a picture. Symbol. This do in remembrance of me. And every time we eat and drink, we do remember Him. We remember His body, blood. There was a peace offering spoken of in Leviticus 7. And it set forth the Lord Jesus Christ, our reconciliation to Almighty God, having made peace through His blood. The peace offering. Now that offering was brought by the Israelite. An Israelite would take the lamb, the sacrifice. He would come and he would lay his hands on that sacrifice and kill it. Then the priest would take the blood and sprinkle the blood on the peace offering round about. Then that animal was cut up, and then the portion that was the Lord's was the fat and the kidneys. That was God's portion. And that portion of that sacrifice was placed on top of the already burning burnt offering. The burnt offering was called a sweet-smelling offering. There was no part of the burnt offering was for the priest or anybody else. The burnt offering was only for the Lord. It was presented on the brazen altar. That was a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ and God's satisfaction for His Son. This is my beloved Son. I'm well pleased with Him. That was the burnt offering. But that peace offering, when it was brought, killed, cut up, a portion of it was placed on top of that burnt offering. Kidneys and the fat was the Lord's. We cut it up. The priest got the breast and the right shoulder for himself and for his children. And then the rest of it, the one that brought the peace offering, he got the rest of it to eat it in one day. And these sacrifices in which the people could enter in, they could partake of, setting forth our oneness with Christ. And these sacrifices truly did set forth that intimate union that we have. I mean, we listen to God's Word right here. Here is the bread of heaven set forth. And God's people eat spiritually. They eat of it. They drink of Him, the living water, the fountain of life Himself. God's people hear the gospel. They hear that truth set forth. And they rest, R-E-S-T, in Him who is their life. You hear it. You hear the gospel plainly preached. If there's an inconsistent sound in what I'm preaching, It just, Mike, it just doesn't set right. It's just something. That didn't sound right. That didn't sound. But when you hear him clearly set forth, you eat that and you say, you know what? That's good. All the honor, all the glory, all the praise to him. These sacrifices that set forth him who is our mediator, our advocate, our priest. But those sacrifices that were made then could be done in such a way as men do today. They could be offered, and truly, there'd be no heart for what was truly being set forth. I don't doubt for one second that there were many that came forth in the Old Testament and brought that offering, that sacrifice, and truly, by faith, saw. The Scriptures said, spoke of Abraham. Abraham saw my day. Moses knew God. Moses knew. Aaron, they knew. There were some that knew that God revealed who was being set forth by that sacrifice. But how many came and just went through the rituals and brought the offering? How many? Just like they do today. Turn with me to 2 Timothy 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. There was just an emptiness, just going through the motions, just 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 to 5. This know also, 2 Timothy 3, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, those that no control sexually is what that means. Incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such, turn away. Leave them alone. Going through the motions, then and now, nothing ever changes. Having no more than an external show of religion, pretending great zeal, pretending to have a love for the salvation of men, pretending to love the truth, pretending that God's honor is the only thing that I'm concerned about. Believers struggle and admit, oh, that I would. Those that pretend say they do. A believer will say, oh, that I would. Pretenders. But in reality, the Scripture says it's just a form. Denying in heart the power of God. Denying God's sovereignty to save His people. Denying the Scriptures. Have no heart for the truth that's set forth in the Holy Word of God. They speak and sing of the Lord Jesus Christ, but they cherish nothing of Him. Sing these beautiful songs of Zion, unaffected. They rest, R-E-S-T. Since I've been talking about W-R-E-S-T, I better spell the word. They truly rest, R-E-S-T. In a false security, having performed the outward show of religion, and say within their heart, is that harlot. Flip back to Proverbs 7. Listen to this right here. If this is not truly, at least in heart, what the false religionist says. Verse 14, Proverbs 7:14. Here she is, that harlot picture of false religion, took this unwary man on the side corner there, drew him in, caught him, verse 13, kissed him, impudent face, said unto him, I have peace offerings with me this day, have I paid my vows. You know what that means? I fulfilled all my promise to God. Everything that I owed God, I've done. I've performed. I have peace offerings with me. God's peace is upon me. Why? I paid my vows. I'm right. I've done my duty. You're safe with me. If you want to know where you're safe with me. Because God is pleased here. Sacrifices with strife. A distortion of truth. A form of godliness and denying the power thereof. Men can go through the motions. They can be baptized. They can partake of the Lord's Supper. They can go through the outward form of things with no heart for Christ. Not discerning the Lord's body. They can eat of that bread and drink of that cup and never see, drink unworthily, never knowing in heart the truth of God's redemption, counting that own person's obedience to eating a piece of bread and drinking a cup of wine to be that which is my righteousness before God. I was here. Unworthily. That is to eat and drink and to think that the ordinance that you partook of is actually salvation before God. Now let me tell you what's better than that. Better is a dry morsel and quietness than a house full of sacrifices, and how many there are, with strife, contention. Better is a dry morsel. Better is the bread himself that made himself dry. A root out of dry ground. Parched. That dry morsel, it means parched, broken, humbled. The bread of heaven himself that grew up, the scripture says, before him, before God Almighty, the triune God, Father, Son, and Spirit, the triune God who in Christ was the fullness of the Godhead, bodily. I'm telling you, I'm lost too when I say it. I say that and I'm lost for understanding. Who can explain this? There's things that the more you try to explain, the worse it gets. To say that He is the fullness of the Godhead, Father, Son, and Spirit, Lord, as you say you are, you are. Better is that dry morsel with quietness. He that hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there's no beauty that we should desire him. Dry morsel. He that was cut off, the scripture says, the land of the living. Why? For the transgression of God's people was he stricken. He that humbled himself as the servant of Jehovah. The one that it pleased the Lord to bruise. The one that the Lord, for the sake of his people, according to his everlasting covenant of grace, put to grief. But the one that the pleasure of the Lord prospered in his hand. Oh, that dry morsel. I read these scriptures right here. I would have never called him a dry morsel. But the Spirit of God did. The Spirit of God did. You read that right there and you say, Lord, how have you humbled yourself? I'll never understand in this life. Lord, what you were made. He spoke of himself as a worm. The scripture says he was made sin. I think to myself, Lord, that you would reveal something of your humility, something of what you made yourself to be. In my redemption, that carnal heart loathes this one that a believer looks at and say, that dry morsel, according to the words of our Lord, he said, you search the scriptures and in them you think you have life. And they are they that testify of me. Well, if there's something better than a house full of sacrifices with strife and contention and controversy against God and arresting of the scriptures, tell me what's better. Here's what the scriptures say. Better is that root out of dry ground. Better is he that made himself of absolute no reputation. To you that believe, he's precious. I'll tell you who this dry morsel is. He's the exalted Lord of glory. He is the one who's been given a name above every name. The one that every knee is going to bow to. He came into this world and humbled himself. He came into this world as God's servant. He came into this world, was made sin. I'm telling you who he is. He's Almighty God. He's God. God himself, the glorious Lord and Savior of his people. Better is a dry morsel. The one that this world looked at and said, I'll not have that dry morsel to rule over me. I'll make up my own way, thank you. To believe by faith in him, he couldn't even save himself. If God and his Father called on him, maybe God will save him. Wag their tails, their heads. Probably tails too. Spit on him. Stuck a crown on him. Hit him with a stick. Who hit you? Better is a dry morsel with quietness. Security. Security. Abundance, peace, and safety. That's what quietness means. Better is a dry morsel with security. According to God's Word. God's Word. It's why we believe this. Because God said it. All of these false securities are dumb. Oh, that I may say, Lord, that I might win you and be found in him. Not having mine own righteousness which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. You want to know what's better than having a house full of sacrifice with strife and controversy against God? You look to Him who humbled Himself, who gave Himself to save, to redeem His people from their sins. It's better. Better. May the Lord give us hope, faith, peace in Christ alone.